Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a former Red Wolf heading to Paris for the Olympic Games here in the next couple of weeks. Exciting news there. Also, A-State Baseball and new head coach Mike Silva continuing to assemble the coaching staff and the roster for 2025. Speaking of baseball, I want to welcome in our special guest this week, former Red Wolf pitcher, now doing something really cool as he has recently entered the world of banana ball. Let's welcome him in right now. It's Colin Stone. How are you, Colin?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
I want to get into the banana ball and everything you're doing there, but first off, I want to tell people, this is cool, not only because you're a former Red Wolf, but hey, you're a Northeast Arkansas guy, former Riverside Rebel. And I imagine that baseball has kind of been instilled in you throughout your entire life. Do you remember a time without baseball?
COVID. COVID's the most recent memory I have without baseball. But even then, we were still, you know, Gavin was looking at getting drafted that year. So baseball was still a big part of something we were doing. So honestly, no, not really a time in my life where baseball hasn't been just the main focus.
What all did you come up playing? Because it's not that there hasn't been. There certainly has been good baseball at Riverside. A lot of people think of basketball with that. So what all did you come up kind of dabbling in as a kid?
I played basketball, baseball, tennis. Really just kind of anything we could get our hands on. That was kind of what we were doing.
Before we move on from there, give me I was going to go with a story, but heck, there's too many of those. Give me a Buster Campbell lesson that still sticks with you.
The best quote that I've ever heard Buster Campbell say is he was talking about somebody being a knucklehead or something. And he yells, "Responsibility. It starts with an R." And they left it at that. And that's the best quote I have from Buster Campbell.
What did you take from that, Colin?
No context, no just responsibility. It starts with an R. I don't know. I don't know what the lesson is there, but I remember it.
So. It stuck, yeah.
You remember responsibility because of it.
I know how to spell it.
All right. So you mentioned your brother, Gavin, now starting for the Dodgers. How cool is that? I know you got to be really proud of him.
It's really cool. He's doing great. He's killing it. I'm so proud of everything he's been able to accomplish. It's an interesting situation just having a brother that's you see either on TV or people are talking about the fantasy teams. Everybody wants to know a little insight. Everybody wants to know stuff that even I don't know. So it's an interesting relationship, interesting situation, but I'm super proud of everything he's been able to accomplish, and I think he's going to kill it for years to come.
So how do you watch one of his starts? And I don't care whether it's the ones you've been at in person, you're watching on TV. Like, it's not like sitting there and watching another game. Like, so mentally, like, what are you doing if you're watching him pitch?
I'm a little more keyed in, but I'm so laid. I kind of take it laid back, just like I would watch any other game. I'm cheering for what players. I have favorite players on the other side, too, that I want to see do well. So I'm cheering like any other game. I'm just a little bit more keyed into some of the mistakes he makes and some of the pitch selection and those kind of things when he's pitching.
So you're more on the critical side.
A little bit. I mean, I think he does well every start. He hasn't had a bad start yet, but yeah, I look at what he's doing and what kind of changes he's making game to game and those kind of things.
We got a lot to talk about what you got going on, but I'll ask last thing here because I know the kind of we're at that point as we record this where the all-star teams have come out, but also you don't know what pitchers are pitching when. And so there's good that, you know, especially from a pitching standpoint, it's going to change. I mean, you think we see him pitching the all-star game?
I was hoping he'd be in there. I was disappointed he didn't get selected anyway. So yeah. I thought he's done really well. But, man, I hope so. I hope he's there.
Well, I know you're proud of Gavin's success, but we want to talk about your success. Had a great career at Riverside. And then after you left Riverside, spent a couple of seasons in junior college ball at Mineral Area College. And then after that, three seasons at A-State. From 2019 to 2021, I know that 2020 season was cut short, but you go back and look at what you did just in that time you were here. You had 11 saves in your career at A-State, which is tied for third most in school history. So when you look back on your time at A-State, what are you most proud of?
I'm just proud of the relationships I made, the guys that I still talk to today. The baseball side of it, we got cut short by COVID, and so it was kind of an awkward situation with you didn't know what was next, what was coming up. So it was kind of an awkward situation there, but I'm still thankful to be in it today and doing what I do, and everything that's came out of it's been great. So
mentioned the 11 saves, and obviously, you know, as a youth player and even a high school player, I mean, you're going to have to start. They're going to hand you the ball to start the game and probably say go as long as you could go. How different or kind of what changes do you have to make to the mindset to be a closer? No, we're going to hand you the ball and you can empty the tank trying to make most days put up 1-0.
It's a learning experience. Even in junior college, I was still starting games. I wasn't coming out of the pen really. When they told me that they wanted me to come out of the bullpen and have that role, I was all in for it. I know it's a mindset that I enjoy, just going right after them and forcing that contact. But it's definitely a learning experience. It definitely took a little bit to kind of get used to that. We started hot in that 2019 season, though, so I got a majority of those saves in the first 2 months of that season. So
you did, and even in that 21 season, you look back on that season and the kind of success that you had, and I know individually you did some very good things that year, but won in the conference tournament, won at least a game, I know, and then your team did it. And what I'll always remember about that season is just how much we were on the road. That schedule, I think we were on the road for about 70% of our games that year.
I think so. I feel like we played most of the games in March at home, and then after that we were just gone.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, like 18 is in my head as the number of home games. It was something crazy low.
I think that's right. That sounds right.
You finish up your playing career at A-State. After you were done, did you automatically say, hey, I'm going to find a way to stay in baseball? Did you explore some other opportunities? What was the thought process like at that point?
Well, at that time, it was 2021. Professional baseball was kind of in shambles. The Affiliated just cut a bunch of their low A teams or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Pioneer League just got cut out of Affiliated. The draft was cut from 40 rounds to 5 rounds. There just wasn't a whole lot of light at the end of the tunnel when you were looking at professional baseball. I did go play. I went and played a year of indie ball in Montana in the Pioneer League. And that was a great experience, but it was just really a dark tunnel. You didn't really see a whole lot of opportunity at the end of it.
All right, so you played the year of independent ball. You know, we mentioned banana ball, but there's something else in there before all this banana ball stuff started to come about. Blitz ball. So tell me about blitz ball. First of all, what is it? It's kind of like wiffle ball, right?
Yeah, it's very similar to wiffle ball. It's a ball that doesn't have holes in it, though. It has sides on it that make the ball move when you spin it. Blitz ball, that's a crazy story. So Kyle McDonald, another Arkansas State graduate, he was hooked up with John Boy, and he asked me if I wanted to come play on his team, and that's how the whole blitzball thing started. And now it's grown into something where I'm able to travel. I'm going to the All-Star game next week. I'm a ranked player in the world. It's grown into this huge thing that's leading to all kinds of opportunities.
Now, I'm going to back it up even a step past that because, and obviously we're going to talk about Kyle, but you said he was, for somebody that's hears you said affiliated with John Boy, and maybe that doesn't register. Can I tell kind of what that means and what the connection was there?
Okay, so Kyle got drafted by the Yankees. He was in High A at Hudson Valley. And John Boy Media, it's a baseball podcast. They do all kinds of baseball content and sports-related stuff. Well, Kyle had became friends with them because they came to one of their games, and Kyle and his hitting coach were the only two that showed up. So Kyle was connected to them. They wanted him to come to the warehouse, and his hitting coach could not come. He asked me if I was willing and able, and I had the opportunity.
By the way, so am I right? If you're not necessarily a follower, you probably had John Boy stuff scroll across your timeline or your TikTok or your reels. If it's about like a baseball fight or an ejection, especially, right?
Yeah. He does the lip reads. Yep.
Yeah.
Lip reads.
All right. So Kyle, he's the one that tells you about blitzball and ask if you want to play.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. First time. Never played blitzball in my life. I had actually a blitzball bat at my house, but I didn't have any blitzballs. But never played blitzball before, and that was the start.
And you mentioned there's some similarities to wiffle ball, but I'm looking at videos and I see you throwing 105. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the first time I ever threw it, we were just messing around. And I was like, I bet we can throw these things pretty hard. And we got on the radar gun and it was like 105, 106.
How in the world do you hit that?
I don't know. The creator of Blitzball still says that's the hardest pitch he's seen from like a delivery.
All right. So you're throwing 105, 106. When you're playing, are you also a hitter? Do you pitch and hit?
I do, but the hitting is very hard. So yeah, we do the best we can.
What's the score in a typical Blitzball game?
Usually they're pretty high. Usually it's probably like 5 or 6 runs a game.
And you play inside. How many players are on the team?
In John Boy's warehouse, yeah, we play inside. Okay. But in normal Blitzball, it's like on a outside field.
Okay. How many players are on a team?
In our warehouse games, we use 2. But in normal Blitzball, it's like 4.
So how do people see this? I mean, I've seen a lot of the video content floating around, but people seek this out and try to put eyes on what we're talking about. Where do they go?
You can go to YouTube. It's on the Warehouse Games or Como Blitzball. There's all kinds of Blitzball out there. You just go to YouTube and search up Blitzball, and one of our videos should pop up.
There's innings and 3 outs per inning. Is that the same kind of setup as baseball?
Yeah, the innings and outs are the same. The counts are a little different. There's 6 balls for a walk. If you get hit a couple times, it's a free base. Some subtle differences, but it's pretty similar to baseball.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Visiting with Colin Stone here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. We've been talking about Blitzball, and I know you're still doing that, but in the open, we said that you're now playing banana ball. This is a kind of baseball that has really taken off here in the last handful of years in particular. But you're now playing for a team called the Visitors. So first off, we've got a ton of questions about this. How did this opportunity come about?
I just kind of just kept myself in shape, kept throwing. Obviously, with Blitzball, I have to do something. So I stay in shape. I still throw. I have my own Repsoto that we throw on and stuff. And I've been throwing bullpens, and I got in contact with the recruiting director, and it all worked out perfect where they were putting together this Visitors team, and there was a spot for me.
So connect a few of those dots. Like, okay, you reach out. They've got a recruiting guy, and that's all well and good, but kind of what happens between that and actually getting onto a team?
So I have a good friend that pitches for the Bananas. So I reached out to him, kind of found out what I needed to work on and stuff. I started throwing a couple of bullpens, and my actual tryout for the Bananas was over FaceTime. I have a good buddy that coaches at Marion High School, Jordan Vollner.
Yep.
And it was right before they were playing in the first round of the state tournament. He asked me if I could come throw live to them. And I said, yeah, sure, I can. This works out perfect. So while I was there, I was on FaceTime with the Bananas for my tryout.
So mowing down high school kids got you your spot?
100%.
All right. So I think people are familiar with the Bananas, at least loosely familiar with teams like the Savannah Bananas and the Party Animals, which has been their main rival to this point. But I know they're adding other teams. Over the weekend, we were watching the Bananas play the Firefighters. And now the Visitors have kind of joined that league. But you're, I guess, part of a rotation. You're going to play these other teams, and do they call it the Banana Ball League?
It's turning into something bigger than it ever has been. It's turning into more of a league. I think next year the plan is to add another team, maybe. Not 100% on that, but I think the plan is to add another team. So they're going to have 4 official teams. the visitors, what I'm doing now, it's kind of a temporary development team where they're trying to build the roster for that next team. So basically what we're doing is we're trying to make that next roster or one of the existing rosters. And so, that's kind of our whole rotation is played against every team. We play against the Firefighters in a week full of scrimmages. We played against the Party Animals 2 weeks ago in Savannah. And then we played against the Bananas in Indianapolis last weekend. And so we're just playing everywhere. We're getting experience. They're seeing us. We're feeling it out. And we're waiting on calls back.
Because, I mean, I'm assuming that if spots come open on the Bananas, then they're going to fill from the rosters on these other teams.
Correct. I think that's kind of what the visitors is. We're the development team. We're the team with guys that are the next guys up.
Look, I know there's a ton of players that want to get involved in this, and it's not like there's large rosters. There's very few spots for people to be on these teams to get this opportunity to play banana ball. And look, the crowds are outrageous. They sell out in a heartbeat wherever they go. So everybody wants to be a part of this, but it can't be just baseball that gets you an opportunity. The fact that you can pitch is not going to get you on the team. You see backflips between pitches. You see the dance routine. So did that other stuff, the acrobatics, the dancing, did that help out? Was that something you had any experience with?
No experience dancing, no experience with acrobatics or anything like that. Just being willing and able to try anything and do everything and having the blitzball world and the John Boy community, that stuff behind me, I think it really helped me getting there. But yeah, being all in and being able or willing to do whatever they asked, that's what gets you in.
So beyond that, beyond just willing, what else about your personality makes this a fit?
I want to have fun. I love little kids. I love bringing joy to the game of baseball. The experiences you get at a banana ball game are unlike any experiences you'll ever be able to have at a normal game. We were up in the stands. We're hanging out with the kids. We were in Indianapolis a week ago, and I was walking around the stands during the early part of the game, and there was some kids playing baseball with a banana ball and a little banana bat out in the outfield. And I stopped for an inning and a half, and we just played baseball for an inning and a half out there. So I think just having that, like, that desire to want to entertain is what they were looking for, and expressing that over the interview. And I think that's just led to me having a spot then.
Yeah, and I'm sure learning the rules is part of the process. And one thing that's really cool about it is they want to play really fast. And it's not like you're staring in and getting the sign. I mean, it's just you get the ball, you go right into your motion, and you throw it again. They want you to pitch as fast as possible. I mentioned some of the pitchers we were watching this weekend. They were doing backflips, maybe during the middle of an at-bat. You've got music playing in the background. So what's that like kind of getting used to?
It's great. It's crazy. They ask us to throw a pitch every 6 seconds. That's our goal. I try to be way faster than that, but just seeing the show that goes, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. Like I said, you can't get that experience anywhere else. It's one of a kind. I was pitching in Savannah, and mid at bat, there was a guy that walked up with a plate full of desserts and delivered desserts to the batter. You just never know. You never know what's going on. So,
I mean, people are going to probably draw comparisons, you know, to the Globetrotters from a basketball standpoint. And, you know, C.J. Pepper, A-State guy, he played both on the team that played against the Globetrotters and eventually played some of the Globetrotters. He explained to me one time, the other team can win. Kind of the one catch is you can't mess up one of the gags. So in theory, if a game got too close, you know, they would just do more gags because you can't mess with those. Here, I mean, is it wide open? You're fair game to try to win the game every day?
It's very competitive. We wanted to win every game we play. Coming in, we had a goal of winning 6 games and losing none. So we wanted to win every game we play. Yeah, the entertainment stuff, that's the only scripted part about it. The banana ball, it's not scripted. It's competitive. We want to win every inning. The entertainment part of it, that is scripted. So we know we practice before the games. We have rehearsals for hours before the games. We know when stuff's going to happen. So we kind of get out of the way and let it happen.
Yeah, you don't call it practice. You call it rehearsal, right?
We have rehearsals. Well, we have both. We have rehearsals and then we have our baseball stuff.
And I saw a clip, I guess, one of your games in Indianapolis. You've got the players, and I don't know if this is right after the lineups or what, but you're doing a kick routine. What was that like?
We're Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. That's I think that's one of their routines to Thunderstruck. So that's what we were doing. It's incredible. It's cool. You learn so much stuff. It's a crazy experience.
What's the one twist on banana ball that you wish was a baseball thing across the board?
I like the ball four sprint. So instead of it being a walk, it's the runner can run as far as he wants until everybody touches the ball.
There's no walks allowed. That's one of the one of the banana ball rules. And it sounds good to a pitcher, but then you realize that runner can sprint until what? Every player on defense has to touch the ball, right?
Yes, sir. Every player has to. All seven fielders behind the pitcher have to touch the ball, and he can sprint as far as he wants. I've seen guys make it to third. I've seen guys stop at first.
And there's no bunts where the player's ejected. And then as a pitcher, you got to like the rule where the crowd can actually help you out, because if they catch a foul ball, then the batter is out.
Right. We've seen that happen several times in Indianapolis. It probably happened three times to us and once to the Bananas. But yeah, that's a crazy rule. As soon as the foul ball's hit, everybody stops what they're doing and they're watching that ball.
So, I mean, everybody knows I'm a wrestling guy. So the Bananas, I mean, that they are the Globetrotters. They're the good guys. I mean, are y'all the bad guys?
I wouldn't say that. I think we made a ton of fans, especially in Indianapolis. And I don't think anybody's really the bad guy.
Seems like everybody's just having fun.
It's just a show. I mean, I feel like there's no bad guys. Maybe it gets to that eventually where there is like a bad guy, but I don't think there's any bad guys.
So you're not generating kind of that kind of heat on yourselves. It's all, everybody's having fun.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're just trying to enjoy the time and have fun with the people there. They pay for the ticket. They want to enjoy the show. So we're trying to enjoy it with them.
What's your family, your friends, your girlfriend think of all this stuff?
Everybody is super excited. Everybody wants tickets, obviously. But everybody's super excited. Everybody wants to come watch the show. Everybody wants to see it. It's a crazy new world of baseball that I think will just continue to grow. And hopefully it continues to inspire kids to try something new or just have fun with the game. I seen kids this weekend. I was doing kids camp in Savannah. And there was all kinds of little kids that were just over the moon about trying trick plays or being able to just field the ground ball and roll forward. So just seeing the joy that it puts on people's face, I think that does wonders for me personally.
And you've been kind of, your two worlds have been married. I've seen some of your content lately where even with the visitors, with pregame, whatever, you've snuck in some blitz ball with those guys.
Yeah, they ask me every single day to pitch to them. So if I didn't have to throw a baseball every day, there'd be a lot more. But they ask me every day to play blitz ball.
I guess the immediate goal is to just try to keep this thing going as long as you can, both blitz ball and the banana ball.
Yes, sir. Just stay on top. Keep doing what we can.
Man, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's crazy. It's like baseball, but two totally different universes of baseball.
So have you been keeping up with what's going on back here at A-State? Obviously, the coaching change, and you had to thank a lot of Coach Raffo, you know, playing for him. But a baseball coaching change now with Mike Silva coming in. Have you kept up with that and everything that's going on here?
I've read the headlines. I've listened to a little bit of the podcast that you guys had him on, introducing him. So kind of just hearing his story a little bit. Massachusetts guy. Hockey player. Sounds like a bunch of those northern baseball players that I know. I'm excited to see what he can do for the program and see how they take off from here.
You mentioned, you know, Kyle McDonald kind of being part of the path of blitzball. I mean, he's sort of gone on in you too now, but in his own way too. He's sort of trying to live this most interesting man in the world persona, because you'd say one time it's the blitzball stuff, horse racing stuff. Like, what else is he into these days?
He's working with a horse trainer now. He's on racetracks all the time. He's a sports guy, so he just wants to stay in it also. So he's working at a racetrack. He's helping with horses, and I think he's got dreams of doing something in that path.
Well, Colin, we're excited for you, man. What a great opportunity for you, everything that you're doing right now. A path that not too many people have been able to take, especially with the blitz ball and the banana ball both. So we're proud of you, man. Keep it going as long as you can.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That's Colin Stone joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group, where you can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. What a cool story coming out over the weekend. Former Second to None podcast guest,
yeah,
Cameron Newton-Smith. She is qualifying for the Australian Olympic team. She's going to Paris to compete in the heptathlon here in the next couple of weeks. Look, it was just over a year ago when she was wrapping up her A-State career, winning the heptathlon at the Sunbelt Conference Outdoor Championships. And in that meet, she broke the meet record and the conference record. And since then, she's been trying to work towards this goal of making the Olympic team for Australia, and she's done it. Al Joyner was our first Olympian to be on this podcast, and now Cameron Newton-Smith. We can say that we've talked to a couple of them on this podcast, but I will tell you that, and I know you felt the same way when we did it, she was such a great interview when she was in here, and she really opened up. I know it was emotional for her, kind of going back and thinking about all the things that had happened in her career up until that point, because she had dealt with so many injuries, and they always seemed to come right before she went to the NCAA meets.
Right.
And finally, she kind of got past that. After she won the Sunbelt Outdoor Championship, she went on to become first-team All-American. She performed well at Nationals. But now to see her do this and be able to make the Olympic team, just couldn't be more happy for her.
Yeah, three-time All-American total. But go back and catch that podcast episode. Like, I mean, you can listen to all these. Go back and listen to Cameron and hear, honestly, the heartbreak in her voice talking about just the run of unbelievably bad luck she had health-wise going into the NCAA meets along the way. And I'm sure at that point we talked about trying to make an Olympic team in 2024. And, you know, she had reached the Olympic standard and then kind of had to wait for the clock to run out to make sure that she was going to be high enough in the rankings for that to stick. And it did. And now she is Arkansas State's 11th Olympian in track and field.
Yeah, we're going to be paying attention to what she does.
But first since 2008, Jeff Hartwig, he actually went in 96 and again in 08.
The A-State baseball staff is, I guess, pretty much assembled at this point. Mike Silva has been busy trying to hire his staff, and three names that were announced last week: Cody Livingston from Nichols, who obviously was on Coach Silva's staff before. Then Jerry Cervantes, who comes over from Texas State. And Chris Joblin, a former head coach at Galveston College, which we talked with Coach Silva when he was here. He was also a head coach at Galveston College. But most recently, Chris Joblin was a scout for the Marlins. So he comes in as well. And we've also seen some roster additions here in the last week or so, and one of the more notable additions being announced, I guess, within the last 24 hours or so of us doing this podcast, Kyler Carmack, who had a phenomenal freshman season as a Red Wolf before transferring this past year playing for Ole Miss. But great to see Kyler come back.
It is, because certainly, yeah, the freshman year he had, freshman All-American. So it's good to see him kind of get back here, and hopefully we'll see the continuation of that. And not to speak for Coach Silva, but it really appears, and even talking what I have, Coach Joblin, I got a chance to sit in my office a couple weeks ago for a good stretch. I'd say 15, 20 minutes probably, and talking with he and his wife and getting to visit with them. And it really seemed like Coach Silva's approach to this staff was, and I think he probably talked about it on this podcast, was he went and got the people he wanted, and they'd figure out the roles later.
Yeah, he said that.
And it certainly, I mean, that's even what those coaches, I was like, Coach Silva's coached them all. He told me, you know, when we finished recording the podcast that day, that he plans on coaching them all now anyway. If he wants to work with the pitchers, he's going to go work with the pitchers. If he wants to work with the hitter, he's going to go work with the hitter. So he wasn't going to get hung up on who's doing what. He wanted the people he wanted, and they would sort out the rest as they went. So as he's named these three hires, I trust that they were the people he wanted, because it's what he said was after.
Fun to see it start to come together a little bit for Coach Silva and this baseball team. Anything else we need to talk about here?
I'm assuming that by the time you're listening to this podcast, this is released. If not, then you'll know it's coming. But we've talked a lot about this being the 50th anniversary of women's sports at A-State. And I know we'll do some stuff here on this podcast along those lines here sooner than later. But one of the things that we've put out in conjunction with that anniversary, because of our women's sports, and in total, if you want to run through the whole list, you had basketball, volleyball, golf, bowling, tennis, soccer, and then technically the three sports in track, indoor, outdoor, and cross country. So, you know, 9 total women's sports of our 16. Of those 9, only 2 play home events that you need a ticket to, volleyball and basketball. So this year, in conjunction and in celebration of this 50th anniversary, you get a chance to buy a combo season ticket to both.
Okay.
You buy a season ticket, one season ticket package that gets you volleyball and women's basketball season tickets for $99. And that starts up, you know, volleyball's home the first football weekend, August 30th.
Yeah, we talked about that. What, Ole Miss?
Ole Miss on Friday night. Yeah, so be here before you know it. And so you go online, you'll hop on the website and find the particulars there, and we'll tell you more about them kind of next week on the podcast. But, yeah, make your plans to pay one low price, discounted price, and literally then have a ticket to every women's event all year long.
You mentioned big landmark with the 50th anniversary of women's sports. Big landmark for us. This is episode 150.
Wow.
How long can we go with this?
I don't know. I can rattle off the list, the guest in order. Can you? You want me to start?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding.
We've had some good ones, though, man.
Yeah.
And I tell people, whenever we talk about this podcast, and I know you feel similar, I never knew what it was going to turn into, but the fact that we've been able to turn this format into such a great place for us to get to know, to interview coaches, current, former players, same thing. It's my favorite part of doing this, just getting to know these people so much better. And, you know, to hear what Colin Stone is doing right now and you know, just getting the details of Blitzball and banana ball and everything going there, to hear somebody like a Cameron Newton Smith before they go on to make an Olympic team. I mean, it's really neat to get people in this environment.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was always sort of my favorite part of having a show, you know, back then was getting to have those conversations. So this is great. It helps me scratch that itch. And the beauty of it is we're never going to run out of stories to tell, or people to pull the stories from, because we can't catch up with the backlog of stories in addition to all the ones that are currently being made. And so, I mean, we're never going to run out of stories to tell and people to have on here. And that's the beauty of it. We're always open to suggestion, because we don't know every one of those stories. So if you know someone out there, if you're listening to this podcast, you know somebody to make a good guest from an A-State standpoint, by all means, man, let us know on social media. We'd love to make that happen. Thanks to the sponsors along the way that have made us doing this a reality, and then mostly, you know, people listening to it, because there are numbers attached to that, and if that number was real low, we wouldn't get to keep doing it.
It's been a fun episode. Thanks again to Colin Stone for joining us here on episode 150. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.